Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning to all of you. Thank you for attending the 22nd edition of the SLD. This is my first SLD as the Defence Minister of Singapore. I've attended various editions of the SLD in my previous capacities, and it's good to be back here to reconnect with old friends and make some new ones. SLD has continued to grow. We have more than 40 ministerial level representatives, over 40 chiefs of defense forces, senior defense officials from around 47 countries. This is a positive testimony to the value of SLD as a platform for open and frank dialogue to secure peace and avoid conflicts. From the numerous conversations I've had this SLD, there are two common themes that have stayed with me. The first is that there has been a shift in how we conceive security. While we used to conceive security challenges in terms of conflicts in geographical locales, there is now a strong sense that the security of different regions are intertwined by challenges that cross boundaries, such as the security of our supply chains, countering disinformation, and protecting the security and integrity of our cyber infrastructure. The second is about the rules-based order and how international laws and norms are important in preventing conflict. Yet, as we speak, this order is fraying. And because of that, we live in dangerous times. Listening to the views of our esteemed speakers over the last few days, I would like to share three observations. First, going alone is not the answer to insecurity. Throughout history, heightened insecurity has often driven empires and nations of the past to try to mitigate risks by reducing their dependence on others. Prioritizing one's security is not wrong. Everyone does that. However, this quest must be pursued alongside a firm commitment to international laws and norms, which set the rules of what is acceptable state behavior. If there is no trust that countries will act in accordance to these rules, then the quest for one's security could easily lead to greater insecurity in others. We would then fall into a vicious spiral where attempts to overcome one's insecurity begets greater insecurity. My security first should not become my security only. Otherwise, we all fall victim of the prisoner's dilemma, where the pursuit of self-interest leads to less ideal outcomes, both individually and collectively. This applies not only to the military domain, but to all forms of security. Economic insecurities mirror military insecurities. Malaysian Prime Minister Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim made a similar point yesterday. When trade falters, the consequences ripple far beyond any one region. Economic insecurity, be it widening domestic inequalities, inability to secure one's economic lifelines, or to achieve economic growth through fair economic competition, can all combine to heighten the risks of military conflict. History has numerous examples of countries and empires pursuing aggressive expansionism to secure trade routes and economic resources as a response to domestic economic insecurity. We live in an increasingly dangerous world now, Not unlike almost a century ago, where economic insecurities during the Great Depression led to beggar thy neighbor policies, which historians would argue contributed to the expansionist and irredentist foreign policies that eventually culminated in World War II. Competition and cooperation are not mutually exclusive. The greater the competition, be it in the security or economic domains, the more we need guardrails to ensure that competition does not descend into conflict. These guardrails include commitment to resolve dispute peacefully and in accordance to international laws, channels of communications so that we remain open to de-escalation, and confidence-building measures to reduce the risk of miscalculations. Take Singapore and Malaysia, for example. In 2003, Malaysia initiated international arbitration under UNCLOS against Singapore over disagreements about our reclamation works. Both sides respected the International Tribunal for the Law of the Sea's direction to conduct a joint study of the impact of the reclamation works. Both countries managed to reach an amicable settlement. While the issue began with acrimony, the warmth and civility between the negotiating teams led to an amicable resolution. Today, Singapore and Malaysia continue to have our differences, but as Dato' Sri Anwar has said, we have continued to deepen our cooperation, and the Johor-Singapore Special Economic Zone is a different kind of border defined not by division, but by a share, united by a shared purpose. It is in our common interest, therefore, to ensure that these guardrails remain relevant to all and build new guardrails to manage emerging security challenges. Next. International cooperation starts with domestic confidence. U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said that credible deterrence starts at home. For Singapore, we recognize that capability development is a long-term endeavor that transcends political cycles, and we must have the confidence and the determination to stay the course in our investment in our defense capabilities. But international cooperation and effective diplomacy must also start with domestic confidence. And this is the point. International cooperation starts with domestic confidence. Externalizing one's domestic issues cannot be the solution to one's domestic challenges. On the other hand, domestic cohesion, policy coherence, and leadership continuity enable countries to build credibility, and it is easier to work and negotiate with a credible partner. A secure government with the strong support of its people will have the leadership confidence to sustain strategic partnerships to address common security challenges, reach mutually beneficial agreements to resolve disagreements peacefully, and play an active and constructive role in shaping and upholding the rules of our global order. And one can say the converse is also true. Hence, domestic security and external security must be mutually reinforcing. One cannot happen without the other. Political and military leaders must arrest the instinct or temptation to go it alone when they feel insecure. Only then can we avoid conflict and keep the peace. My third and final point is that all states have agency and responsibilities. I'm glad that French President Emmanuel Macron spoke about strategic autonomy and sovereignty. In a fragmenting global security and economic order, it is tempting for small states, including many of us in Southeast Asia, to ask whether agency is possible, and if we must choose a side. The strategic context for us in the region is as such. It is said that China's presence is a geostrategic reality. The U.S. engagement of Southeast Asia is a geostrategic policy. And if so, Southeast Asia engagement of the U.S., China, and others must be our geostrategic necessity. For Singapore, we believe that taking sides regardless of issues and context breeds irrelevance. And if one is irrelevant, it will almost certainly require to take sides. If we have to choose sides, may we choose the side of principles. Principles that uphold a global order where we do not descend into the law of the jungle, where the mighty do what they wish and the weak suffer what they must. Singapore will choose the side of principles that promote a more integrated global economic and security order underpinned by international law and sovereignty and sovereign equality, where states big and small have a fair chance to compete and can improve the lives of our people through trade and not war. We believe that all states, big and small, have agency and also responsibilities to uphold the global economic and security order for our common benefit. This is why Singapore is committed to work with like-minded partners and weave a web of bilateral, plurilateral, multilateral networks for the common good. Any functioning global rules-based economic and security order must be able to address the emerging challenges of the day and the challenges of tomorrow. Openness and inclusivity are important because all stakeholders must feel that they have a voice in shaping the rules. I'm glad that the EU High Representative Kaja Kallas, as well as New Zealand's Defence Minister Judith Collins and France Minister of the Armed Forces Sébastien Lecornu, raised a very salient emerging challenge, that is the security of our critical underwater infrastructure. This is one area where we cannot go alone. As our critical underwater infrastructure cuts across national boundaries, we must work together to secure our access to data and energy. This applies to our underwater critical infrastructure as much as it applies to our conventional critical infrastructures, because in a network, you can't defend by only looking at a point. In a network, we must defend the network as a team. Together with our ASEAN partners, Singapore will play our part by raising awareness and developing a set of principles to facilitate defense cooperation on critical underwater infrastructure security in our region. And to all the powers of the world, the greater one's power, the greater is one's responsibility. All great powers can choose to demonstrate the power of its example, or it can choose to demonstrate the example of its power. So we all have a choice to make. We can all demonstrate the power of our example, or to demonstrate the example of our power. So ladies and gentlemen, our security and prosperity depend on our ability to work together. A more prosperous world is a less dangerous world. To get to a more prosperous world, we all need to work together, not just on the military security front, but also on the economic security front. And Singapore will continue to actively contribute towards upholding the rules-based order, and the SLD is one way we play our part. Your contributions here are important in making our world a safer place for everyone. And before I end, let me take this opportunity to thank all the people who have worked tirelessly behind the scenes, IISS, the staff of Shangri-La Hotel, the security forces, and also our media friends who have amplified our voices for peace. Because of your hard work, we are able to pursue our quest for peace. I wish everyone a safe journey home, and we look forward to seeing you again next year. Thank you very much.